Thank you very much for being here. And if you're looking around and wondering where everybody is, there's 21 people up at Big River Bible Camp this weekend for a men's retreat. And so you can be praying for Simon as he shares with the guys there this weekend. And so that has been one of the things that he's been working on. And then also he's been looking after youth as well. And so I think they're doing a scavenger hunt this week. And so I guess that makes him a scab. Is that a polite term to use? But so the youth will be doing that on Thursday evening this week as well. So thank you for his ministry. I want to continue our series on the church this morning, and I've titled my message, Called to Bless. And as I began to look at this passage, all of a sudden that kind of jumped out at me, that we as children of God have a responsibility, we have a calling on our lives to bless one another. Now, for those of us who more have a judgmental spirit, we find this a little bit more difficult to do and to actually find ways that we can bless one another. And so I want to walk through that this morning, knowing that I need this message as much as we all need this message this morning. As Gary shared this past Sunday, we are blessed to have 197 active people in ministry here at Ozer Mission Chapel. What a blessing that we have that they found a place to serve, and they're willingly and faithfully doing that. And that's not counting those who have ministry outside of this walls of this church as well, outside the walls. And so many of you are ministering in many different ways as well. And thank the Lord for that, as he has uniquely equipped you with a gift, and you have found opportunity to utilize that gift in an area that he has opened up for you. Communities where people are being transformed by Jesus. And as you're involved in that ministry, you're operating in a community that are where people, and the object is that people would be transformed by Jesus Christ. Many of these ministries are giving you the opportunity to work with others in unity and seeing a greater return because you're harnessing the power of the many. And so you have opportunity to walk with others in that ministry. And you have the opportunity to mentor someone else. But you also have the opportunity to be mentored as well in that ministry. And the blessings of being able to work in the body life, of being able to work one with another. And we can do that when we're working with others in ministry. Ministry opportunities grow when we have a group working with each other. And with it comes the ability to have a larger impact as well. And so as God opens up greater opportunities, then we have the opportunity to working with others in growing that ministry as well. Working with others comes not only with unique opportunities, but it also comes with unique pressures. They say the greatest blessing is of working in ministry is the opportunity to work with others. But also the greatest discouragement is working with others as well. And so the opportunities that we have of operating in ministry to be blessed by those that we get to work with. But maybe this morning you are reflecting upon some discouragements that came with that as well. Maintaining the spirit of unity is a constant pressure and a constant threat upon us as we seek to operate with others who have different thinking, different ways of doing things. How can I work in unison? How can I work in unity with those others as well? Compassion may go out on a chivalrous errands with sensitive hands and lowly minds, and may be met with ingratitude and angry rebuff from those whom she seeks to serve, as somebody has written for me here this morning. Yes, we often seek to show compassion to others, but it's not always received well from others. And what do we do with that? When our hearts are seeking to reach out to somebody else, and all of a sudden, it comes back and is rebuffed from us. We may expect this from those who are unbelievers, but we are often unprepared for the response from those of the family of God. And maybe you are here this morning and you are reflecting on that. That, yeah, I tried to reach out. I tried to be involved. I tried to care, and it didn't go anywhere. When communication is involved, the potential for misunderstanding only grows. And culture also has a part in how actions are communicated as well, as we operate in a more and more diverse cultural environment. The story is told of a missionary couple who were partners in a tribal location. And they were partners with a couple from a different culture. And this other couple were out of the tribe for a number of months. And so they sought to give a blessing to this couple by presenting them with some flowers on their return. The mistake came in that all they had available was some plastic flowers. And so they presented a nice bouquet of plastic flowers for that couple. That other couple took the message totally different because they came from a culture where real plants were in abundance. And they took it as an offensive gesture from that other couple. Wow, even something as simple as that can be rebuffed. Often our best intentions result in miscommunication and hurt. The temptation is to rest in our hurt and walk away. Because we are by nature selfish people. We are by nature retaliators. And so when all of a sudden something like that happens, I'm going to pick up my rocks and I'm going to go and take my rocks somewhere else. Or we're going to take our marbles down to somewhere else where they will appreciate us. And that is often the temptation. For they say that the DNA of sin is self. And often as we reflect about sin in our lives, we see how self so much comes into play. How dare that person say that to me? How dare that person do that? And our first inclination is to defend ourselves. Wow, they got that wrong. That's not true about me. That's not the way I am. Or maybe then the second way that comes to our minds is often, I'm going to repay that in kind. Just wait for the opportunity whereby I can get back at them in the same way. And Peter shares with the aliens scattered across Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia that they are not to return evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. And so he's speaking to a select group of people who have every right, every opportunity to be able to do evil for evil or insult for insult. See, but we this morning, we have a choice when we are hurt or we are rebuffed. Will we retreat or will we walk forward? It is not a matter of if, but when we will be hurt in ministry. When we're working with each other, there's often times when even against our best intentions, we hurt or we discourage somebody else. And the choice that we have at that moment is, am I going to retreat or am I going to continue to move forward in the strength that God gives and seeking to give a blessing? But we also have the opportunity to be that person who encourages, strengthens another to carry on and continue to grow in ability and grow in grace. Yes, what are we going to do when we're rebuffed? But what are we doing in seeking to be that encouragement and strengthener to one another in ministry as God opens our eyes to opportunities to bless one another? And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like to read a few verses out of 1 Peter chapter 3 and looking at verses 8 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's begin reading at verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter was communicating with a group of people who had every right, every human right, to want to repay evil for evil. And maybe you are here this morning and you're placing yourselves in that same position. I have every right, humanly speaking. They did me wrong. And Peter is speaking to them as he's speaking to us here this morning. They had fled due to persecution and were living as aliens. They were picking up the pieces of their lives in an unfamiliar place and amongst unfamiliar people, neighbors who were unfamiliar. Peter was seeking to communicate with them. He who continually in his heart sanctifies Christ as Lord becomes possessed by a compassion which moves in delicate sensitiveness and in humble-mindedness and which remains sweet and persistent in hostile atmospheres of murmuring and contempt. We're walking into a world that is gaining every day, becoming more and more hostile to the message of the gospel. We're operating in a world of different cultures, and the world is coming to us at this present time, so we are operating in different cultures as well. And Peter was seeking to communicate, it's possible to be compassionate in this situation. It is possible to not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but also it is possible to give a blessing instead. The main point Peter wants the scattered believers and us to understand is that we are called to give a blessing. We are called to find opportunities in each other's lives whereby we can extend a word of encouragement, a word of strengthening, an opportunity maybe to take upon ourselves some of the burden that they are carrying. And God is calling us to give a blessing. The means of this blessing is found in verse 8 and with being harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. The foundation of this blessing is that God has called us to this, and the motive for blessing is a promise, a blessing that we will have upon us. Peter sums up his conversation about servants, husbands, and wives with five qualities that are necessary in these relationships, but also by extension to the community at large. And so he's been wrapping up his conversations with how do we relate to masters? How do servants relate to masters? How do wives relate to husbands? How do husbands relate to wives? And he comes up, he wants to sum up all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. And yes, these characteristics are important in each of those relationships, but they're also important in each of our lives in the whole as well, and go far beyond even these relationships. If they are going to be able to give a blessing, it will only be possible through being empowered by the Spirit to demonstrate these supernatural gifts. In and of ourselves, it is impossible for us to exhibit any of these qualities. Hear what Peter is calling us to do. When he says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious. How is that possible apart from the Spirit of God in each of our lives? He is calling us to be a kind of people, not just do a list of things. And so his word for us this morning is, what type of people ought we to be in this situation? If we are going to be a blessing, then here's the foundation that we need to have, and we need to have the Spirit of God working in our lives in these areas. We are, first of all, called to be harmonious. We are called to be like-minded. Wow! How is that possible in our day to be like-minded? Is he asking us all to just all be like little robots together? No, that's not what he's calling us to be. They're called to have the same thoughts and assessments on the essentials of the gospel, the essentials of God, salvation, virtues. Philippians 2 verse 2 says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. What is our purpose? Are we united in our purpose that we might see lives transformed by the gospel? Are we united in the fact that we want to see God do a work in that person's life and in my life as well? This is not a uniformity where we need to believe the same things about everything, because God has given us unique functions in his body as well as unique gifts. But when it comes to the essentials, we should be one-minded. And so this question this morning is, how are we doing in being like-minded? Are we as a ministry of Ozer Mission Chapel moving forward together, united with one purpose, that we might see God do a work in the lives of different individuals, maybe in your community that you have opportunity to reach? In John 17:21, in Jesus' prayer to his Father, he states that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And so the prayer of Jesus in his high priestly prayer there is that we might have a unity in like-minded into the Trinity. How is that possible as we look at the interaction between the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Lord Jesus on this earth? And we see the unity that they have, that Jesus came to this world in obedience to the Father, and according to the Father's will, and he sought to fulfill the will of the Father. And so his prayer at that time is that we might have a unity in like mind, in mindedness. The heart of Jesus' high priestly prayer was for the unity of his children in likeness to the Trinity. The purpose of this being one is that the world may believe. And so as the world looks in upon us and our ministry and us, the church, what are they believing about the gospel as they look at our unity? As they look at our lives, what are we communicating to the world at large? and is our message going forward in a clear manner, because we are a united group of individuals working towards a common goal, a common purpose. Our state of being in harmony will have a direct bearing on the message that we are presenting to the world. It was a characteristic as well of the early church in Acts 4:32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. Those who believed were of one heart and were of one soul. And we saw the church grow in a great and a fast manner at that time. In the early days, we see that 5,000 were added to the church, 3,000 were added to the church, and it continued to grow in a great manner. And maybe that was partially reflective of their unity that they had, that they were of one heart and were of one soul together. And if we are going to see God do a mighty work in these days that we have left before he comes, then we, the church, need to operate in one heart and soul as well. But it was also a prayer of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As he looked at the Corinthian church, his prayer was that they might be one-minded as well. And Ephesians 4:13 states, the only way that this will happen, the unity of the faith, is under the authority of Christ and his word. He is not talking about all singing in unison, but all the parts harmonizing together with one music score and one conductor. In a music sense, harmony is the use of simultaneous tones working together in an orderly arrangement to achieve a pleasant, united, unified sound or effect. Have you ever gone to a practice of those who are beginning to learn how to play the violin? There isn't much harmony in that situation in those early days. As I remember, there were just a bunch of squeaks, a lot of squawks, and little of any kind of harmony. But as they spend time working together, getting on the same page together, then beautiful harmony takes place. In a biblical sense, harmony assumes differences among people who are brought together in unity under a master composer. An orchestra has many instruments blending to produce a unified sound. And so his calls for us today is to find the instrument that you are and learn how to have that part in the orchestra. Then secondly, he calls us to be sympathetic. It means feeling what others feel so that you can respond with sensitivity to the need. The stirring in the heart is shared, responding to the same central nervous system from the messages from the head. True sympathy is a fairly quiet, time-intensive, pressure-intensive way of being. It is a God-orchestrated sympathy. Can we be sympathetic to the body as God calls us to? If I'm stuck on myself, I will never be sympathetic. And then we come across passages in Hebrews 13, verse 3, where he says, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. How is it possible, if I've never been in prison, to be able to identify, to remember the prisoners, unless God has given me a spirit of sympathy for that and lays it upon our hearts? And so here in Hebrews, he's calling us to remember the prisoners as just one area where we can be sympathetic. Galatians 6, verse 2 shares, bear one another's burdens. And how do we do that apart from having a spirit of sympathy and being sympathetic as well? And then thirdly, he goes on and talks about brotherly. We're not to view each other as strangers or as mere acquaintances or as distant relatives. We view each other as close family. A family can have some pretty serious squabbles and exchanges, some very harsh words, but only in the rarest cases that the family ever break up over it. And we were supposed to love as brothers. And so as we walk down this passage, he begins to open up what it means to be brotherly. The one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I keep my mouth from evil. I don't speak about my brother in an evil manner, but I do not speak with deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good, and he must seek peace and pursue it. He's the one that takes the initiative to restore the relationship if it needs to be restored. I will not use my tongue to harm or deceive. I take the initiative to restore the breaches. And Psalm 133 speaks, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And then he goes on to this word kind-hearted. It means compassion from the bowels. not sentimentality, but love in action. It is exactly the opposite of hypocrisy that acts tender and feels malice. One of the strongest Greek words to express tender, compassionate love is this word kind-hearted here as well. And so we are called to have a compassion that comes from the bowels, when we would say today, from the heart. And then fifthly, humble in spirit, recognizing who God is and who we are. We feel we are utterly dependent in God for life and breath and intelligence and emotional stability and faith and safety and the use of our senses. And so we are called to be humble. Do I recognize who I am? Do I recognize the hand of God and his hand in my life? Grace makes us wonderstruck that we are loved. It does not make us pushy and self-assertive. Do we understand the grace that God has extended to us and brought us to the place that we are as his children today? He's calling us to be humble in spirit. We can imagine saying, but Peter, that's not the way I am. You're asking me to be something I am not. And he would answer, if you are born again, if the Spirit of God really dwells in you, if you are the children of God by adoption, if Christ is now your treasure and God is your hope, then the seed of all these traits is in you. And they will flourish if you go on trusting in God's future grace. So if you're a child of God, these traits are there because of his indwelling presence living within us. And he's calling for us to allow the Spirit to work and grow these in each of our lives, that we might be able to be people who demonstrate harmony, that we might be people who demonstrate sympathy and brotherly and kind-hearted and humble in spirit. These five qualities will enable us not to return evil for evil or insult for insult, but to give a blessing. It would have been good if Peter had stopped at the evil for evil and the insult for insult, because we could have gutted it out, and that would have been our temptation if he would have just left it there. I can gut this out. Because we can find a solution by, I'll just go to a different church. I'll just move across the church and sit somewhere else. I don't have to be involved with that person. Thus, I won't have to return evil for evil or insult for insult. But Peter here continues on about giving a blessing to somebody else. But we are called to contrast this behavior with giving a blessing. The message for us is that we are to be continually speaking well of with praise and thanksgiving. I want good to come to you, and I put it into words. And is that our heart's concern? I want good to come to you. And how can I be one of the persons that God uses to be able to do that? To extend God's hand of grace into somebody else's life. It can only be done from a heart that is without hypocrisy. Our desire is to help each other become people as described in this passage. Paul and Silas blessed their fellow prisoners. Remember the story in Acts 16:25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They had been struck with rods and left with wounds and then placed in the stocks. They were unjustly beaten without trial, which went against Roman law. They had many reasons to repay evil for evil, as well as insult for insult, but they chose to give a blessing. And the story tells us of the jailer coming to faith along with his household. I'm not sure if Paul and Silas understood all that would develop from them giving a blessing. But at midnight, it wouldn't have been my first thought to be involved in singing at midnight. I normally fall asleep far sooner than that. But they were awake. Maybe they were awake because of the beating. And they decided to give a blessing instead. Stephen blessed those who were casting stones at him. In Acts 7, verse 60, then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. He decided, through the grace of God, to give a blessing to those who were throwing stones. And I don't think he understood the ramifications of that blessing as well. Because who was standing there? And that was Saul, was standing there looking after the coats of the individuals. And I'm sure that message was impactful in his life. How can somebody in this situation say this at a time like this? That do not hold this sin against them. And we know that just a short while later on the Damascus road, God met him and he came to be a follower of God. And maybe that was partially in reflection of Stephen's message to him. How do we give a blessing in the lives of others who have mistreated us and gossiped about us? You might not be privileged to see all that God does through your blessing, but much will be accomplished if it flows from a heart that is subservient to the work of the Spirit of God. Each of us has lists of injustices committed against us. We may have responded with something less than a blessing, but we have the opportunity this morning to lay that hurt before the Lord and walk forward in the power of the Spirit and give a blessing to that individual. And maybe you here this morning are sitting here and you're holding resentment against somebody else. And that's why you sit where you do. Or maybe that's why you don't fellowship with somebody that you used to fellowship, because we hold resentment. And this morning, God is calling us that we might find opportunity to give a blessing from a heart that God has worked in. Because of a word of blessing, Teresa and I took on the challenge of the young adults for a season in the church here. Somebody came to us and shared with us, oh, it's a word of blessing, because it wasn't on my radar at that time. And because of that word, we got involved for a season in the young adult ministry. A word of blessing from a pastor kept us going in the early days of our move to Papua New Guinea. The thoughts of wanting to run were there, but the word of blessing was one of the things that kept me going. The other thing was, is I didn't have any money to do anything but to run anyways. But what he said about me, I was almost looking around and said, who in the world is he talking about? Because I didn't see myself in that way. But I think he, before the Lord, saw that. And he extended that blessing. And I could move forward in the strength of that blessing through those early days of transitioning to a different culture. Recently, I was able to bless John Friesen by taking over the leadership of the missions committee, so he can have a season of less responsibility. So if you have questions about missions in the church, you can direct them my way now. We can look at those around us and see, well, they're carrying a heavy load. Let me carry some of that for you this season. So I don't know how long God will have me looking after the missions committee, but I'm going to do it for a season that he might have less responsibility for a period of time. Words of blessing can take on many formats. Children can bless their parents by a word of thankfulness for the housing, food, clean laundry that is given, for the lunch that is going to be presented to you here shortly if I just learn to shut this down and be quiet. Teens can give a blessing to their parents for taking the time to teach them how to drive or how not to drive. And maybe you've looked at your parents and say, well, that's a demonstration of how I shouldn't do it. But we can still give a word of thanksgiving. Thanks for taking the time. We can give a word of blessing to our Connect teachers who labor week in and week out preparing. And there's opportunity on the board there to fill out one of those hearts and put it on the board as a statement of how Connect has ministered to you. This does not mean that everything the individual does has been good, but we find a praiseworthy item to encourage and strengthen and to keep them pursuing excellence. Even when a child does something wrong, is there opportunity for you to say, wow, in this you did good. Thank you for doing that. Yes, there's going to be areas where there need to be improvement on, and we can walk with them that. But praise, blessing, goes a long way in seeking to move them down the road in the direction that you're asking them to move in. Even correction can be a word of blessing if it is done from a heart displaying the qualities of verse 8, with a desire to see the person grow in their ability. And sometimes we need correction as well, and we receive it from a heart that genuinely loves us, genuinely cares about us, and seeking to move us in the right direction. May God grant us opportunities to bless one another from the overflow of grace that God has extended to us. And when God stops us and says, now just a minute, let me show you the grace that I've extended to you. And we can say, wow, God, you've done so much in my life. I, by extension, need to display that in other people's lives as well. I wanted to leave these with you this morning to be encouragement to you, that we as a church, as we seek to walk forward doing ministry together, may God grant you opportunities to extend a blessing to one another, to extend a word of encouragement, a word of support, a word of I'm here with you in this. And it might be the encouragement that keeps them going when all they want to do is just quit and run. So may God grant us opportunities to be that in each other's lives. Let's just close our time this morning in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you that it would be so easy to just return evil for evil, insult for insult. But I pray that you, by your Spirit, might open our eyes to opportunities whereby we can extend a blessing to one another. As we get to know each other, as we get to spend time with one another, that you might give us opportunities and you might give us a word in season for that opportunity that they are walking in. That might be that encouragement to seek to pursue the things of you in a greater way, but also to keep going when they are discouraged. So pray that your Spirit might continue to do a work in our lives, that we as a body of Christ might be known as a church that is unified and seeks to bless one another. For we pray in your name. Amen. God bless, and as God gives you unique opportunities this week to extend the blessing in each other's lives.